Our Old Testament lesson today comes from Genesis. I'm reading from the 17th chapter, verses 1 through 7, and verses 15 and 16. Listen for the word of our Lord. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will make you exceedingly numerous." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you." God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of people shall come after her." Sisters and brothers, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. This seems probably to most of us a very familiar story. It's a story of Sarai and Abram. As they were living this life and she was barren. We remember the whole story. She could not have a child. Therefore, Abram was given over and came another child, not of Sarai. They were childless for many years, and yet God had made a covenant with them, the first covenant. The first covenant was about this business of property, basically, land. God said, look out, this is the land that I'm going to give you. This is the covenant I'm making with you, Abram. And so this is where your people will be. It was 24 years earlier when that first covenant was made with Abram. 24 years have gone by. Sarai is still without a child. And yet God comes and says, in their old age, you will have a great nation from you. You will have people throughout. You will be the father of many thousands and thousands. And this is a very familiar story for this second Sunday in Lent. Oh, and by the way, how is that introspection going? Y'all having fun with that? Really? Tired of cataloging all your sins and trying which ones you're going to not do tomorrow? Is that working out for you? Not me. But, you know, if you're having a good time at that, let me know later and we'll give you a gold star or something. But the fact is, I think today this particular passage says a lot of stuff to us about not so much leaving things behind, but growing into new things. Instead of us trying to let go of our sinful natures, perhaps it is more about us living into trusting God. We all know this story pretty well, Abraham and Sarah, as it comes to be after this new covenant is instituted. And as we watch this, we can see that it is kind of hard. Hard for Abraham, hard for Sarah. To understand and to trust God, even though God has been very trustworthy for them for the last 24 years. They have tried to handle things on their own. Didn't work out so great. God steps in, fixes it. This happened several times. God is giving them all of this time to get used to being taken care of. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I buckle at trying to be taken care of. I'm ornery. I'm stubborn. I'm a human being. yes, dear, I am a human being. She knows that. She knows my orneriness. She knows how stuck in things I could get. It is a part of our trait that we just don't always get it right. We think we are doing wonderful things, but we're not always getting it right. For 24 years, Abram, Sarai, have longed for a child. And now she feels long past the age in which she could bear a child. Abram perhaps feels the same way. And yet, one day, God shows up and says, "Stand before me and be blameless." Now, I don't know about you, but there's not a day in my life I could stand before God and say I'm blameless, unless God makes me that way. Abram is called to come before God to be cleansed and to hear God's words. Now, another thing that I would put to you is this covenant is not really an option. If you notice, God didn't say, "Here, let me make you an offer. And let's see, talk to me, tell me, how do you feel about that?" God didn't say that. God said, "This is what I'm going to do." Abram speaks at one point, says something. God says, "Uh-uh. This is what I'm going to do for you. How can I have a child at this age?" You know that he is thinking this. Hopefully you're thinking, in 24 years he learned something about how God had taken care of he and his wife all this time. But this is just too far-fetched out there that this woman, who was well past the time in her life that she could bear children, would actually bear a child, and that God is promising that your descendants will be more than the stars in the skies. They had learned a lot of faith over those 24 years. But this one seemed just a little too big. Just a little too big. Now, this covenant is different from the very first covenant that God made with them. The very first covenant was about land. "I will give you all of this land." This covenant is specifically about people, offspring. The people that will inherit all of the land on earth. "They shall come from you." This is about people. God has been through many things with Abram and Sarai. And now we'll go through many more things with Abraham and Sarah. You know, there's really no option here for Abram or Abraham, wherever you want to go with that one, to say, "God, I really don't want to do this." He wasn't asked. God did not say, "If you will do this, I will do this for you." God says, "I'm going to do this." And by the way, yes, God has said that to all of us in many ways throughout Scripture. "I will do this for you." There's no ifs, buts, and by the way, no chance to say no in there. "I'm going to do that." And one of the great things about this particular covenant, everybody gets a new name. Abram becomes Abraham, Sarai gets to be Sarah, and even God comes out with this new name. "I am God Almighty, El Shaddai." First time it's used in the Bible. 17 chapters into Genesis, God is proclaimed as Almighty God. This should be a clue. Almighty. All of these things I'm telling you I'm going to do that sound absolutely ridiculous, I can do. God says, "This is what I am going to do, because I am Almighty." Of course, we remember that Sarah's response to that proclamation that she would bear a child. Not read this day, but we remember that. She laughs. Now, first off, I will caution you, laughing at God is not really a good idea. Handle with care. And then the second thing I would tell you is that we laugh at God a whole lot more than we think we do. We laugh at God anytime we look out into the world and say, this place is awful. Nothing can fix this. Sometimes we look at our own lives and we say, nothing can fix this. I have mucked it up so bad, it can't be any better. Nobody can fix this. If you have never felt that way, great, good. But I would probably go out on a limb and say that 99% of us at some time or another have felt that way. That not even God could fix me. But God says, I am God Almighty. I can do anything for you. And he came to Abram this day and did not ask a question. Do you really want to be better off? Do you want? No. I'm telling you, this is what I'm going to do for you. And it's going to be good. Abram doesn't really have a choice. I guess he could run. He could do, you know, try to get away like Jonah. That didn't work out so good. But he hears and he believes. Even though there's got to be doubt. His wife laughs, which is probably the best thing that we could do a lot of times is just laugh. Except that's not really a good thing. Of all the things for these 24 years that God has done for them, there is still doubt. Doubt that God will do what God says God will do. Perhaps if we look at this kind of a little differently and remember what God says, that all of the offspring from Abraham and Sarah, that all of them, Isaac to Jacob to Joseph, to all of them, they will be from you, and they will be a part of my covenant. And along that line, we get to a place, and Jesus comes and says, yeah, we're expanding that a bit. This goes to everybody. Everybody who believes in me is a child of God. You're a part of this covenant. If you believe in God and accept God as your Lord, the one that you are supposed to be following, you are a part of this covenant that was made with Abraham so many years before. The question becomes not what do you do, not so much or are you in or are you out, and what makes it, what is what are you going to do with that? You see, in a covenant, it's different from the things we think about. Contracts. Contracts, we love that language. If you'll do this, then I'll do that. And if such and such a date, if you don't have it, then I'm going to charge you extra money or something like that. Or if you really want to get out of this, you owe me $5,000 or whatever. We have out clauses in contracts. Covenants have no out clauses. You get into it, that's it. God got us all into this back in this particular passage with Abraham. We bought into it through Jesus, and we're here today. We have been given a huge gift, so perhaps, just perhaps, in this Lenten season, maybe we should not try to stop doing things. not eating too much, stop drinking alcohol, stop using certain words, not going out without clean clothes, which I wish you would all make that pledge, by the way. Rather, perhaps we should take a lesson from Sarah and say, let's not laugh at God's power. Let's not doubt God's power. Let's live into that power. Let's quit worrying about what's going on in the Ukraine. Let's stop worrying about looks like the whole place is just going to blow the world up anytime. Let's quit worrying about the fact that you don't make as much money as you think you should make, or that you're not going to get the greatest job in the world, or all the things that worry you. Perhaps we lay all of that aside here in Lent and just let it be. And focus on living into the covenant that has been made with God. That God will do what needs to be done. Sarah laughed because she didn't believe that she could have a child, because no one at her age had ever had a child. And yet she had the child through which all of us come to the covenant with God. Perhaps we should believe just a little bit more that God truly is almighty, and that God truly loves us in a way that we can barely understand. Perhaps if we will do that, Lent won't be a slog about trying to quit sinning. It'll be more about living into the joyous community that God has called us to be. That God is working every day to provide for each one of us. I give thanks to God that He puts up with me, a dumb old preacher who's stubborn, ornery, mean sometimes, but God still loves me and brings me into covenant relationship with God Almighty. That's an awful lot of love. Let us try to live into that instead of forgetting something else. Thanks to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.